The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Randy, appreciate the time as we're talking here precisely halfway through this regular season, 41 down, 41 to go. I could throw some words out there to describe the way things have gone. Pleasant, surprising to some degree. How do you start to describe this season for the Sharks?
Well, I go into every season with the same expectation, no matter what the roster. The season from start to finish will be a roller coaster ride wrapped up in a soap opera. And by that, I mean there's going to be ups and downs.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some stuff that is drama, and there's going to be some stuff that you never expected would happen. And this season has not disappointed in both those regards so far. The start was the down part of the roller coaster, and then the Sharks steadily climbed back to respectability in November. There have been some drops again, most recently against the Lightning,
yep.
which is going to happen to every team in this league, including the Lightning. But then things like the Pittsburgh comeback, which is greatest ever in franchise history, part of that soap opera story that who knew that was going to happen, right?
Generally good, though, right? Like, I think the overall feeling is, as many other seasons where we've been at the halfway point recently, and you're thinking, I just don't know what the second half brings. There's general optimism.
Oh, much more than just generally good.
I
would be disingenuous if I said that going into this year, I thought the Sharks had a legitimate shot to make a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
The players all have that belief, and the coaches, they have to. You can't go into a season thinking otherwise. But you looked at the roster, you looked at the conference, and you looked at the past two seasons when the Sharks finished 32nd. I think it's just natural not to expect the kind of leap that would get you from 52 points to who knows what it'll take to make the playoffs this year,
yeah.
Probably something between 80 and 90 points. That's a huge leap. And the only other team that the Sharks have ever had that have done that is the 93-94 team, who made that record leap and got the eighth seed. But now that we're halfway through it, this feels like that team in a lot of ways. Now, of course, the parts are different. It was, Larionov and Makarov and Urbe, and, you can go on and on, Sandis Ozolinch, for fans who remember that era, those personalities. This is a different group, obviously. But elite offensive players, and we have a few of those that we know their names, Celebrini, Smith, Toffoli, Wenberg, and an elite goaltending situation, potentially, with Yaroslav Askarov. And we've seen him show flashes of that this year.
Sure.
As he continues to find, his NHL pro game. But that group reminds me a lot of this. Obviously, that was special, and this feels special in that same way. And that's why, a couple of weeks ago, I said this team will make the playoffs, and I really believe that.
What was the genesis of that? Like, where did that come from? Just gut feeling, observations?
I think observations, number one. Then talking to some of our veteran players a couple of months deep in. As I said, every player starts the season with playoffs as a goal. When you get to December, some of that confidence can waver. And in talking to some of the guys, it's like, no, we're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing some of the things they did, that win in Toronto, followed right up by the Pittsburgh win. Of course, it's a little bit intoxicating as a broadcaster sometimes when you have back-to-back events like that, and maybe you overstate. But I really believe they have what it takes, and the numbers don't actually prove it. The numbers aren't that great.
Yeah.
The underlying stats, a lot of them. The goaltending statistics are last, which is obviously a key thing. But there's something about this group that they find ways to win. When you think they're toast, They're not. And that's why I think they'll make it.
Could have been a two-on-one if they connected cleanly. Celebrini's back on. What a play by Klingberg. Over to Celebrini. They score! One of the most amazing comebacks in franchise history. Sharks win!
You've had some great calls this year, and obviously the games dictate you getting into it and really getting to call a game and feel the emotion, but at Pittsburgh game, Randy, and as the goals kept coming and you started to ramp it up and we're all feeling it, and I knew when it was probably 5-3, I was like, the Sharks are going to at least tie this game. Like, you just get that instinct in the same way it was San Jose and Vegas in the playoffs a handful of years ago. Afterwards, I texted you, and I was like, Randy, that was an all-time great call by you. That was one of your best. And I think you said afterwards, I was a little worried. I got very emotional. I don't know what happened. And that got me thinking, I mean, you should get emotional, but why did you get emotional? Why did we all get emotional with that game?
I still am not sure, but I think it was validation. After 6 years of wondering when this was going to turn. And last year was great, because we now saw Macklin Celebrini, we saw Will Smith, we saw the future in the flesh,
direction.
Parts of the future, instead of just conversations about what the future might hold. This year, we're seeing the future with more pieces added, like Kasam Dickinson and Askarov in a more prominent role, and wins are coming. And that's the big difference this year, is there are results and some success. But specific to that afternoon in Pittsburgh, you're right, when it was 5-1, you know, you're starting to think about that long plane ride back to San Jose.
And then Will had just got hurt.
And
too,
Will
right?
just got so, hurt. And so you're wondering, what's the vibe going to be like? And yeah, good thing we won that game in Toronto, or they won that game in Toronto, sorry. Because that'll, you know, some good things came out of the road trip. It won't be a good road trip. It'll be an okay road trip.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're right, 5-2. Then you have a chance. 5-3. Now the ball is rolling.
So the way you said it, though, it's 5-3. I mean, well, I know what you're.
I got to admit, I mean, part of what I do is create theater of the moment when that moment arrives. You know, part of our jobs as broadcasters is to recognize when something like that is happening and play to that moment. So if it sounded like I was getting a little more excited with every goal. That was happening organically,
absolutely.
Yes, but it's also part of years of doing this job. You understand that if you see and feel that momentum, it has to be reflected.
Right.
Because if you're at the game as a fan, you're feeling it in the building, and our whole job is to take people to the game via television. So it was a combination of this spontaneous, record-breaking comeback happening at the same time as putting my tools and what I know in my job to work.
I know a lot of Sharks fans will compliment you on that or any other good call you have. I'm curious, so like the players are watching highlight clips. Your voice is attached to those highlights. Do players ever come up to you and say, hey, I like the way you called my goal or that play? Do they ever say
anything? It doesn't happen that often, but after that game it did.
Oh.
I had players come up. I had management people come up. And head coaches come up, which was very gracious of them to recognize that it was a special moment. And I think the reason that they pass along congratulations in that moment is because we all felt it. And you know, in those moments, I'm part of the organization, but not part of the team. But as part of the whole traveling group that, you know, drags our suitcases onto those planes for 41 road games a season, when something like that happens, it's emotional for all of us because we all have so much invested in the process. And to me, it was them saying, you captured the way we felt, even though we maybe couldn't show it, like a head coach can't show that in a game that's game, I don't know what that was, game 36 or whatever it was, because it just wouldn't look right.
Right.
But inside, you feel it. And I think it was something else too, Brody. And this is something I'm feeling right now from the fan base, and I feel it myself, and it's a feeling of pride. And I think if you're a fan of any team, and this is specific to Sharks fans, you're proud of of this. You're proud of that logo on your jacket, and you're proud to be part of something. And especially when you go through tough times, that loyalty, that pride is challenged. And when you have what's happening this year happen, you feel that pride swell back. I've got to say, when Macklin Celebrini was named to Team Canada, and then when Alex Wennberg was named to Team Sweden, those are proud moments right. for me as a person. I had nothing to do with what those two guys did to get picked to their respective Olympic teams. It was their efforts, their teammates' assistance, and all the years they put into it. But as a Sharks broadcaster, and I guess you could call me a fan, of course, I feel proud. I feel proud for them, but I feel proud for our community of people who care about the Sharks. Yeah. And that's why I am so excited about these Olympics, because we're probably gonna have Pavel Regenda there too. We'll probably have Philip Kurashev, and I certainly hope he's healthy enough to be on the Swiss team at the Olympics. And it's going to be so prideful.
Yeah.
In addition to just fun as a sports right. fan to watch those games, because even though they're wearing their country sweaters, somewhere on their body, maybe it's socks, maybe it's some leggings or a t-shirt underneath, there'll be a Sharks logo.
The Sharks something will yeah. be there. A couple more things. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I want to get through a couple more things here. You know, Macklin, right? We've seen how many players has Sharks? Thousands over the years. You've seen all of yeah. them, literally all of them. And I think last year we kind of had the sense that Macklin was a one-of-one type situation. But from last year, Randy, to this year, he's become even more rare in what he does, who he is, some of the achievements he's reaching. I mean, I'm not asking you to even describe this, because I don't know if you can describe what we're witnessing here.
Well, it is new to us.
Right.
It's never happened before. Just statistically, after the Tampa game, he had equaled his entire point total of the 70 games he played in last year right. in the first 41.
Right.
So just do that math. That's astounding unto itself that, you know, you talk, well, he worked hard in the offseason, which we know he did. But the offseason wasn't really that long. You're talking about 5 months where his game...
To get that much better?
To get that much better in 5 months
yeah.
is absolutely astounding. So that's the big thing for me. And you talk about these records, and some of them seem obscure that we haven't actually heard about before, like most points before Christmas by a teenager. But... You know, the fact that it's a teenager
right.
makes it special, or most points in a calendar year by a teenager. And these are stats I've never heard of them before. They've never been tracked before.
It's usually Gretzky, Crosby, Macklin.
Well, and we haven't had a player that's been in that conversation
yeah.
until now. And he's not just reaching players that were really good in this league. We're talking about the all-time legacy, yeah. greatest players in the history of the NHL that he is surpassing, equaling, or coming close to at 19 years of age, and he's going to be 19 all the way through the end of this season. It is astounding. It is remarkable. I also am stunned with how he handles it,
yeah.
how he handles himself.
Yep.
This speaks so much to his family. His parents. I watch his younger brother RJ on social media, who I think is 12 or 13,
and handles himself like an adult.
He is like a well-spoken yeah. young man to the point you go, like, you've got to be kidding me
yeah.
that he's only 13 years old. It's
right.
it's crazy. But like Jamie Baker used to say, zebras don't raise elephants. You know, there's a reason that these boys that come from the same family, and
right.
I haven't met his brother Aiden, who's in the Vancouver Canucks organization playing in Abbotsford before, but I'm just going to guess that they have that
yep.
common trait. And this comes from one place, and this
yep.
comes from the way that they were brought up, and then enhanced by great coaches and
yeah.
hockey mentors along the way. But just the way he conducts himself, and then the way he drags this team through the fight back to respectability when they've had bad games.
Right.
And not that he's doing it alone.
Right.
But he's tugging on the rope.
Yep.
The rest of the guys are grabbing onto that line, and they're tugging, and that's why they're winning some of these big games.
So two more things, and the next one is exactly about that. There has been a definite culture shift here with the Sharks, and it's a little bit probably about winning some more games, but it's the people, it's the attitude, it's the point that Alex Wennberg just decided to stay around here for three more years. Maybe could have got a bigger, longer free agent deal somewhere else this summer. So my point is, San Jose has returned to being a destination that players are going to want to play. And not to get ahead of ourselves here in free agency this summer, but all of a sudden people can see where this team is going. And I think that's a compliment to the group that's here, that people want to join them now.
Well, this again speaks to Mike Greer and his team of people that are rebuilding this franchise. And the Wennberg thing cuts two ways. This is a player deciding that this is way better to stay here and maybe give up an opportunity for a few extra dollars, but likes what's happening here.
Right.
But it's also Mike Greer sending the message to his dressing room and the fan base that we're not in sell-only mode anymore.
Right.
We're not going to move Alex Wennberg at the deadline for a second-round pick.
Right,
or whatever.
Right.
He's too valuable right now. And I'm not saying that the Sharks aren't still going to be moving people at the trade deadline. I could easily see them being buyers, which in the sense of this re-signing, you are buying up free agency, so you're already buying.
Right.
I could see them be buyers and sellers at the trade deadline, depending on how things go between now and then. But from Greer's standpoint as well, and this speaks to your point about the Sharks being a destination now, this sends the message out to the rest of the NHL that we are keeping pieces now.
Right.
And you might want to really think about if you want to be part of this.
Right.
Because we know it's a great place to live.
Right.
We know that the Shark Tank, now that it's coming back, is a great place to play. And you get a chance to play with Macklin Celebrini.
Right.
And I'm not underselling anybody else around him because we have a lot of talented players. But he is the alpha dog. There's no question about it. And I was talking to somebody the other day, Scott Reese, one of our colleagues used to work on Sharks broadcast and is now at Cron. And I really firmly believe this, and this is why it's so great for Sharks fans that are in on this right now, or people that are climbing back on board that may have given up for a while, or they're just sampling hockey for the first time. They might be a 15 or a 16 year old kid who didn't really have an interest before, and now the whole thing Celebrini has gotten them interested. But I think we are seeing the beginning of the next iconic Bay Area athlete, and the signs are there, right? At a very early age, not only having a good season, having a historic type season. And it wouldn't surprise me in 10 years from now if we're putting Macklin Celebrini in the same sentence as we put Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds,
Ricky Henderson, Willie Mays.
These are all-time greats.
Steph Curry,
and that's taking nothing away from Patrick Marleau,
right,
and Joe Thornton,
right,
whose banners are up in the rafters for
right.
a very good reason, because they've been the iconic hockey players in the Bay Area for many, many years, and deservedly so. But Macklin's coming after him, and I mean that in the best of ways.
Yeah.
And I think we are at the very beginning of something we're going to look back on, and it'll be long after I'm done doing this job, probably.
No.
But this is going to be exceptionally special, not just for Sharks fans, but for Bay Area sports fans.
I heard free agents want to come here because they want their goals called by Randy Hahn.
There you go.
That's a big magnet.
I got to get a commission on that.
One more thing. Just the rest of the season, there's a lot of elements at play, and especially for Sharks fans who are saying, hey, cusp of the playoffs, so there is the trade deadline.
Yep.
Things could alter this roster, this team, to either boost a playoff run or to say maybe we're not going to be in that situation. I don't know. There's also 3 weeks off of the Olympic break, which everybody's going to have to go through, and restarting your game. So if any team's on a roll, you take 3 weeks off. Sometimes you continue that. Sometimes you're stopped of that. How do you see all of these interesting elements affecting the Sharks down the stretch?
Right. Here? Well, first there's the games before the deadline or before the Olympic break. And the Sharks have a stretch coming up after these home games here against Columbus, Dallas, and Vegas. Mm-hmm. They only have one more home game after that against the Rangers until the Olympic break, and they will have 9 out of 10 on the road in that span. Mm. So that's a real challenge. But there's a lot of teams that are going to be going through that because the compression of the schedule to allow for the Olympics. So we'll see where they sit come the break. I think 3 weeks can be good. It can be bad. If you're on a roll, you probably want to keep playing. And when you come out of it, you may have lost that mojo and have to battle hard to get it back. But if you're dinged up and injured, which most of the teams are now because there have been so many compressed games, and I really believe this has a lot to do with the attrition factor this year around the league, is all the back-to-backs and not enough rest. And being a West Coast team, the Sharks practice less and all those things that are inherent every season. But this year, it's all magnified because of the schedule. I think those 3 weeks of rest for the guys who don't go to the Olympics could supersede the value of having guys that do go and have success. You never know how that's going to play out. So I want to see where we are going into that break. Then we'll see how healthy we are coming out of it. And then when the deadline will be the trade deadline will be a couple of weeks after the end of the Olympics.
Yeah, in early March.
And I'll tell you what, once the Olympic break is over, this league is going to be insane because you look at the East and the West right now.
Tight.
It is so tight, so close. This is, who's out of it? Is anybody out of it? 2 weeks ago, would you say
Buffalo was.
The Buffalo
now
Sabres
are
out of it? Yes, you would. You just said they're out of it.
Well,
would,
no,
you have said,
not, yeah.
would you have said the St. Louis Blues are toast or Nashville? Yeah, toast.
Yeah.
Now they're not.
Yeah.
They're alive, and the hockey is going to be absolutely crazy in March and April.
Randy, thank you for this. Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you, Brody.